Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we are celebrating Memorial Day and philosophically, I guess you could say it's the first weekend of summer, I thought we'd read a little essay written by Glenn Cross, the VFW commander and American Legion Honor Guard member from Elmhurst. And it's entitled Paying Tribute. Glenn writes, "It's a sacred day to all war veterans, and none needs to be reminded of the reason that Memorial Day must be commemorated. But what about the general public and, more important, future generations? Do most non-veterans really recognize the importance of the day honoring their fellow Americans killed in war? Judging from what Memorial Day has become, simply another day off from work, the answer is a resounding no. Perhaps a reminder is due then, and it is the duty of each veteran to relay the message. Sacrifice is meaningless without remembrance. America's collective consciousness demands that all citizens recall and be aware of the deaths of their fellow countrymen during wartime. Far too often, the nation as a whole takes for granted the freedoms all Americans enjoy. Those freedoms were paid for with the lives of others few of us actually knew. That's why they are all collectively remembered on one special day. This should be regarded as a civic obligation, for this is a national debt that can only be truly repaid by individual Americans. By honoring the nation's war dead, we preserve their memory and thus their sacrifice and service in the memories of future generations. They came from all walks of life and regions of the country, but they all had one thing in common: love of and loyalty to our country. This bond cemented ties between them in times of trials, allowing a diverse lot of Americans to achieve monumental ends. We remember the loss of loved ones, a sense of loss that takes group form. In essence, America commemorates those who made the greatest sacrifice possible, giving one's own life on behalf of others. Means of paying tribute vary. Pausing for a few moments of personal silence is available to everyone. Attending patriotic ceremonies is the most visible way of demonstrating remembrance. Placing flags at gravesites, marching in parades, all this should be instilled in our youth to remember and pass on. As America's older war veterans disappear from society's landscape, now more than in the past years, the enduring relevance of Memorial Day should be clearly evident. With two wars underway, the public has no excuse not to remember. And so, a weekend to pay tribute, certainly not only Monday, but all weekend, to those people who sacrificed their lives for us so that we could live the way we do. So an interesting way to start our show, certainly in commemoration of Memorial Day. And in commemoration of the Memorial Day parade, CIA Director David Petraeus to serve as Grand Marshal for Chicago's Memorial Day parade and wreath-laying ceremony, which is on Saturday, May 26th. CIA Director David Petraeus of the Central Intelligence Agency will lead this year's Memorial Day parade as its Grand Marshal and participate in the wreath-laying ceremony preceding the parade on Saturday, May 26th, today. General David Petraeus, U.S. Army retired, became the 20th Director of the Central Intelligence Agency on September 6, 2011. Director Petraeus has dedicated his life to public service, retiring from the United States Army on August 30, 2011, after a distinguished 37-year career. He last served as Commander, NATO International Security Assistance Force, and Commander, U.S. Forces, Afghanistan. This year, parade will commemorate the 150th anniversary of TAPS with a special tribute. In 1862, Oliver Wilcox Norton wrote what he called the hardest 24 notes to play. The all-too-familiar cadence of notes first played by Wilcox during the Civil War and will be played by a group of buglers across America to mark the anniversary. Included in the day's events will be a special recognition of the Illinois Gold Star families at the wreath-laying ceremony at 11 a.m. on Daly Plaza and at the parade. The parade steps off at noon at State and Lake, proceeding south on State to Van Buren. The Chicago Memorial Day Parade honors all men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. This year's parade will be dedicated to all soldiers who fought and died in our country's recent conflicts. The city of Chicago is proud to have post-9/11 veterans represented in our parade this year. And the Chicago Memorial Day Parade is presented by the city of Chicago. For information, 312-744-3316, or visit explorechicago.org. So that's something to commemorate. It's funny now. The parade will be going down, starting off at noon at State and Lake, and proceed south on State to Van Buren. And there was a different parade here last week in the same time with different participants. But certainly a great tribute nonetheless, and the great man David Petraeus, who will lead that parade. Great that we commemorate that on a yearly basis, something we should all do. I want to mention this, too, very important. Our good friend Mona Purdy over at Share Your Souls, calling all Crocs. You know, Crocs are those shoes that the kids wear. Well, I guess adults wear them, too. There's a crisis on the ground in rural Kenya, and you can help. Children are dying from foot infections caused by jigger infestation. Jiggers are a kind of parasitic flea that enters the skin and reproduces so that the children can't walk. The pain and debilitating effects of the inflammation is incredible. It often leads to infection and a slow death. Well, it's a truly horrible situation. What's more, it is 100% preventable. You can prevent this from happening to a child quite easily by donating a pair of Crocs or Croc-like shoes, you know, those popular plastic green garden shoes that you see around. We've got an immediate and pressing need for Crocs, as many as possible in the next couple weeks. Typically, Share Your Souls does not take Crocs because they provide little foot support. But in the intense heat of the desert communities of Kenya, the people will not wear gym shoes. They do not wear socks, and open sandals and flip-flops provide no protection from the jiggers. Crocs are the best solution for these children. Please consider donating your Crocs, or better yet, organize a Croc drive. Certainly need your help. Increasingly, in countries throughout Central and South America, including Mexico and now Haiti too, children are being denied the opportunity for an education simply because they do not have the right kind of shoes. Children are being denied attendance in Catholic schools if they do not wear black school shoes, even if they have been granted tuition. Education is the path out of poverty and toward a brighter future. For something as simple as a pair of black shoes to stand between a child and his or her future is unthinkable. It doesn't have to be this way, and you can make the difference. Share Your Souls needs black school shoes for boys and girls. Please take a look at the shoes your children have outgrown. They do grow fast, especially now at the end of the school year. Make sure that wearable, supportive shoes come to Share Your Souls instead of just throwing them away. This small act of generosity can truly change the course of a child's life. And Share Your Souls is moving, too. I'm not sure where yet, but there's a big moving sale on Friday, June 1st and Saturday, June 2nd from 10 to 2. And Share Your Souls is located at 5623 West 115th Street out in Alsip. Mona Purdy has done just a terrific job. And, of course, Mona's from Beverly, and kids went to Mount Carmel, and just a great, great lady, dedicated her life to trying to help others all around the world. For information, 708-448-4469, or go online to info@shareyoursouls.org. So that's Mona Purdy again, 5623 West 115th Street, 708-448-4469. You know, Crocs don't cost that much, too, if you don't have any. Go up and buy a few pairs and just drop them off. It's certainly feel good about it, and certainly definitely help other people. I'm sure Mona will be getting a ton of them to do something with, and certainly just a lady that certainly deserves it. Press release from our good friends out at Paramount Theater. Of course, they had a great season last year with My Fair Lady and Hair and Chorus Line and Joseph, the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And this year, another great season. Grease is going to kick off the season, one of the great classic musicals, followed by Annie, another great one, and The Music Man will be played, and then Fiddler on the Roof, one of the great classics of all time. So Tim Rader and Jim Jarvis over at the Paramount Theater continue their successful approach to presenting the best in Broadway out in the suburbs. Certainly the shows that they have put on are something to remember, and certainly each year gets better and better. Of course, Jim Cordy being the artistic director, our good pal Jim Cordy, in charge of putting that those shows together with some terrific people, and another great year. And certainly they were very successful their first year, more successful than I ever expected to be. And it continues with great shows. Willie Nelson was out there, and I just got a press release this morning, I get a chance to print it out, but William Shatner is going to be there. He's got a show, and he'll be there. And you can get special VIP tickets, which is kind of interesting because it allows you then to meet with William Shatner and chat a little bit with him, get to know him a little bit. So that's kind of cool. Well, I thought in honor of Memorial Day being the first unofficial weekend of summer, I thought we'd play one of my favorite groups, The Association. Of course, they had so many great hits, Cherish being their most popular hit, Windy, Never My Love, one of the most recorded songs of all time, Along Comes Mary was their first hit. But so we thought we'd start out with one of my favorites, The Time It Is Today. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Sunrise, sunset, what you're born with is what you get. Let your fear just pass away, then your love will fill your days. I know I need so little, yet so much. Child's sweet laughter, woman's touch. I can't say just what is real. All I know is what I feel. I know. The time it is today, we must find our way. My heart, it clearly states, the answer's not in. Believed that love was but a dream, but now I know that love's a flowing stream. They're lying, killing, they're pushing their rules. They tell you the prophets all are just fools, but I know different and I won't be used. It's they that are lost, it's they are confused. Sunrise, sunset, what you're born with is what you get. All your worries, all your fears, they don't change the passing years. I know.
The Association, The Time It Is Today. All your world is all your fears. They don't change. They just pass in years. Well, you see roadside stands and in the markets and the Whole Foods and everything. Asparagus is back. Of course, springtime vegetable everybody enjoys. Well, you think you know asparagus, that harbinger of spring? Did you know that asparagus is a member of the lily family along with onions and garlic? Did you know that asparagus can grow up to 10 inches in a 24-hour period? Wow. Here are some other factoids you may find surprising about the spring vegetable. Asparagus historically was heralded as an aphrodisiac. Interesting, probably because of its shape. Recent research suggests eating asparagus can help ease hangovers and protect liver cells against alcohol's toxins. It boosts the level of key enzymes that break down the alcohol. Interesting. 5 ounces of asparagus contains 60% of the recommended daily intake of folic acid, which prevents heart disease and birth defects. Other possible benefits include preventing cancer and urinary tract infections and easing arthritic pain. Interesting. The German town of Schweitzingen claims to be the asparagus capital of the world and holds its annual Spargelfest, which is asparagus festival, in May. The person who grows the heaviest stalk is named Spargel King or Queen. Interesting. Hey, enjoy asparagus in the this time of year in the spring. Kind of nice, kind of the start of summer. Well, of course, we had the Crosstown Classic last weekend. Cubs didn't know it, but we we did, and didn't do so well on the north side, but one would expect that, given that the Cubs are now the worst team in baseball and counting. We'll see what happens. Of course, during the game, interesting, Konerko got up. Paul Konerko, first baseman, got up, hit a home run the first time at bat. Second time, he got drilled in the face. A coincidence? I think not. But that's what happens sometimes, right? Graduations are coming up. In fact, we have some thoughts about graduations. If we can get to it this show, that'll be interesting. Memorial Day weekend, of course, it'll be great. And had the opportunity of having lunch with my good pal, Mr. Joe Schneider, one of the great insurance people in the Chicagoland area. Of course, great supporter of the Chicago White Sox. You hear him advertise and the Sox telecasts. And, of course, we had the NATO and Occupy Chicago week ago, and things came and went. The Chicago police did a wonderful job keeping things under control, and a lot different than the 60s, wasn't it? People are expecting that. A whole different generation of people approach things a heck of a lot differently. Well, we're going to play one more song from the Association. Their greatest hits CD, one of my favorites, No Fair at All. We'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
I've never seen this side of you before, till now. Never knew that you could feel this way, till now. After all the time we spent together, just doesn't seem fair at all. No fair at all. Never seen the moon light in your head till now. Never heard the sweet things you could say till now. After all the time we spent together, just doesn't seem fair,
no fair
at all. No fair at all. Together, just doesn't seem fair,
no fair
at all.
Association, No Fair at All. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Writers Theater, under the direction of Artistic Director Michael Halberstam and Executive Director Catherine LaPuma, continues its 20th anniversary season with A Little Night Music, music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, book by Hugh Wheeler, directed by William Brown. The production runs through July 22nd. Set in turn-of-the-century Sweden, A Little Night Music is a sumptuous musical celebration of love. Desiree Armfelt has always captured the hearts of men when both of her lovers and their wives show up for a weekend in the country. The boundless possibilities of an old romance and newly awakened passions bring endless surprises. Full of quick wit and evoking the harmonious rhythm of waltz time, Tony Award winner Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music is the must-see musical of the season. It is night music, Sondheim's enchanted and enchanting musical in Waltz Time, that in many ways is the composer-lyricist's most Shakespearean work. Inspired by Ingmar Bergman's early film Smiles of a Summer Night, the characters in this musical are often on the brink of madness as a result of love, or the lack of it. They are obsessed with marriage, which they variously pursue, endure, or elude, and they almost willfully make complete fools of themselves. Why revive A Little Night Music? Iconic pieces of theater are brought to production because a cast presents itself that demands the staging. Bill Brown has brought together a remarkable group of actors, all of whom, through the force of their personalities, will offer a fresh perspective to this seminal musical, says artistic director Michael Halberstam. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, having appeared as Chip DiCarlo in Jersey Boys, Scar in The Lion King, and Ebenezer Scrooge in The Christmas Carol. Jefferson Award-nominated actor who has been on the stages of Steppenwolf, The Goodman, Drury Lane, Oakbrook, Marriott Lincolnshire, and Chicago Shakespeare Theaters, to name but a few. Teacher, mentor, Loyola University professor, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago theater, and now starring in the Stephen Sondheim classic, A Little Night Music, through July 22nd at Writers Theater, 325 Tudor Court in Glencoe, Mr. Jonathan Weir. Jonathan, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. Pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you, and certainly congratulations on, as we said before, the hottest ticket in town.
Well, it's a hot one, apparently. We've just been extended to July 22nd, and audiences are clamoring to get up to Writers Theater in Glencoe, and it's a thrill to do it every night.
It's got to be a thrill, Jonathan, to participate in a production written by a man who has won Academy Awards, Tony Awards, Grammy Awards, Pulitzer Prizes, Olivier Awards, Kennedy Center Honors. Of course, we're talking about Stephen Sondheim.
Exactly. It's my first time performing Sondheim on stage.
Really?
And it's a thrill. I think you put it quite aptly in your introduction that Sondheim is the Shakespeare of musical theater, not only his music, but his lyrics, his ability as a wordsmith, and rhythmically makes it a challenge for actors. And he's one that I think all actors who are interested in singing or performing in musical theater aspire to be able to do and certainly grapple with. And it's been an experience, and every night there's something to be learned.
Of course, from Ingmar Bergman's movie Smiles of a Summer Night, which was kind of loosely based on Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, of course,
exactly.
Film in 1955. And it tells a story of a group of people, and certainly one who says that the summer night smiles three times, on the young, mm-hmm. on fools, and the old. And so we've got a little bit of all of those.
They're all covered pretty. They all get exposed to the light of day in our production. That's quite a lovely thing. And that film is interesting because I first watched it a couple years ago, and I went back and watched it again before we started production, and I was struck with how Ingmar Bergman captured the relationships, and as you described, the folly of humans in love and in marriage. But that was a very, I thought, very sexy film for its time, too. People explored those relationships fully. I thought it was very interesting about that film.
You know, it's a 1955 film, and it was probably ahead of its time. Of course, so was Bergman, right?
Sure, that was before he had gotten the acclaim. Right. Maybe he had felt a little more freedom or less inhibited to explore some of that. But he's an amazing filmmaker. But that film, particularly, I think is also its humanity. These characters aren't museum pieces. They're real humans grappling with these issues. And thought he did a beautiful job of that.
You know, Jonathan, you just used a term, and it just kind of sparked a little interest here. Use the term. We talk about Little Night Music, and it does touch upon the follies of course, these characters. But this musical was written after Follies that Sondheim wrote and Company, which were his New York musicals. And now that you mention it, this is still a continuation of Follies, only a different time frame.
Very much so. I think it's also interesting when you go back and look at Smiles of Summer Night, how directly some of the dialogue and themes are taken from that film. Some lines verbatim, no offense to Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Sondheim, but that was a great source material for them. But it's interesting because Follies and Company had been done before this, and I think it's also the fact that this is set to waltz time, you know, in 3/4 time, and it's evocative in a different way than, say, Follies is, although it's an amazing piece, as is Company. But this set this piece apart, I think, because of the source material, because of the period, and that waltz time, which is such a lush, romantic tempo.
Of course, you work with such a great group of people, Shannon Cochran, of course, and
she's okay. She's why I go to work every night.
I had her on the show. I don't know what we were talking about. She was on, maybe she was a Shakespeare show, or maybe she was even doing one of the good, maybe a Christmas Carol. Of course, you were Scrooge in A Christmas Carol also, but a few
years ago. Right. 5 years, but I did that, but yeah.
And this woman by the name of Deanna Dunnigan, she was in something that pretty popular.
Yeah.
Right?
She's a comer. She's going to eventually get a ride and make a mark for herself.
But I mean, it must be fun to get on the stage with such a professional. I'm sure they're saying the same about you every night.
I will about that. Deanna, of course, had won the Tony for August Osage County. And interestingly enough, Shannon and I performed together. My first Equity show in Chicago was at Steppenwolf.
Okay.
Stepping out, I replaced Fran Guinan in that production and worked with Deanna and Shannon. That was 20-something years ago. We'll let that go. Since then, once or twice with Shannon, but this is the first time all three of us have been back together, and that holds because Deanna and Shannon are very close, and Shannon and I are very dear friends. So we are thrilled that we get to work together, but we get to explore this adult relationship between, you know, this middle-aged couple who are rekindling a romance, and you don't get to do that much on stage anymore. It's all that's all left to the young. So it's been great fun to explore that with someone who we have such history with.
Share with our listeners a little bit what the musical is about.
Well, you aptly described it at the opening. It's about Frederick Eggerman, my character, who is a successful lawyer, who is widowed, married to a young 18-year-old girl. That's redundant, young and 18, but she is. And he has a 19-year-old son himself, Henrik. He buys tickets to the theater to go see a play, to take his wife. I shall say that Frederick and his wife Anne have not consummated their relationship. It's been 11 months, so there's a little bit at stake there. So he takes her to see the show, and he sees this Desiree Armfelt, who Shannon Cochran plays, who we had a relationship on and off 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He then goes to visit her after the play, and they rekindle this relationship. At that point, Shannon's character Desiree gets an idea to invite them to the country, to her mother's house. In an effort, I think, to sort of see where this relationship might go. Interspersed in that, she's having an affair with Carl Magnus, a count, who's played wonderfully by Brandon Dahlquist, and he's not willing to let her go. And he's also married. And as he says, a man will do anything. It's one thing to save the honor of a wife, but when it comes to his mistress, a man would come to fire. So he's fully invested in that relationship. We get to Act Two. It's the summer. It's sun never sets. It's long, long days and nights that are all lit. So that plays a little havoc on everyone's emotions and sleep patterns. And it's what unfolds in the country with these relationships. And I won't give too much more away other than that. But it's a happy ending for all. We all end up finding what we need to find, which is the great thing about it.
And of course, the music is just terrific, and one the great song, of course, from A Little Night Music is "Send in the Clowns," and
sure.
Written, of course, by Stephen Sondheim. And what's interesting about that song in particular is it's more of a recitative than a song. It's meant to be kind of while it's sung, it's certainly meant to be spoken. And I think that's
it was an interesting story about that. There was a song there originally before they opened in New York, and it was Frederick's song because Sondheim felt that scene was Frederick's scene, and then he realized that Glynis Johns actually could sustain a tune. So he wrote that song with Glynis in mind, and if you'll notice as you listen to the song, it's all very short phrases.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it rich? Isn't it queer?
Right.
They're all very short phrases, so she didn't have to sustain a long breath or diaphragmatic breath for the song. So it does have a recitative quality to it. Shannon has an amazing, amazing take on it. It's one of those songs that she and I have agreed that we like it more in the show than we like it as a standalone piece or a pop piece, because it's certainly been recorded over the decades. But Sondheim actually has written that he thinks that Glynis Johns' performance or version of that is the best he's heard. So, but yes, it is. It's iconic. There's also some other lesser known, but just, you know, Sondheim is like, I don't know, he's like a massage for your ears. He just, how the music plays. And the amazing thing about this production is it's all done acoustically. for a cast of 11. Mm-hmm. We have a chamber orchestra of 5, which is piano, harp, cello, violin, and reed instruments. Amazing group of musicians. And they've managed to find, in that very intimate space, we've managed to find a real balance, an acoustic balance. And you don't get to hear acoustic singing and music that anymore, because it's always on a larger house, or the orchestras are flush with electronic instruments, so they have to boost the voices. So that's a treat, too, I think. Certainly it's to perform, and it seems the audiences are responding very positively to it.
You know, you can't ever hear that song enough, Son of the Clown's a beautiful song. I had the opportunity, Jonathan, to have Judy Collins on my show a while back.
Ah, well, there you have it.
And I think who does the best job ever of singing that song. And I said to her, I said,
you know, that's the one I grew up
hearing. Well, of course. And I said, and it's one of her favorites, and what made it so special. And she said, well, he said, Kevin, a young person can't sing it. A person who has had to have the experience of regrets in their life, maybe the best decision, some were good, some weren't so good, they have a certain experience they bring to that song, and I think that's why it was so special to her, and she makes it feel so special to us when we listen to it.
I think it's a tendency for a lot of performers, young performers particularly, to romanticize that song, and I think it's anything but. I think it's a real... Desiree at that moment is processing a path she thought was going to work out, a plan that she had that suddenly she finds out isn't, and that she's thinking those thoughts in the moment. And I think Judy Collins, I'll give her the credit. Yeah, she's absolutely right. It requires a person, a performer with some life experience to bring to it.
It's like a fine wine that's aged a little bit.
Exactly.
Huh?
Well aged.
Of course, you have been in so many different productions in and around Chicago. Are you enjoying the musical theater part of what you're doing right now?
I am. It's interesting. You mentioned Jersey Boys. I had the good fortune of doing that show here in Chicago for about 3 years, and loved the experience. But I didn't sing in that show. I had the character roles where I got to put on a lot of wigs and didn't have to worry about singing. Oh, What a Night at the Curtain Call. And then did a couple shows in the interim where I did sing. But this is sort of the first time I've been able to. I guess maybe it's also I've matured into being able to play this type of role where I actually get to flex that vocal muscle a little bit, too.
Well, you know, we've had the opportunity, because Jersey Boys is back in Chicago, we've had the gentleman who have preferred, Nick Cosgrove is a kid from Park Ridge, I think. We've had Chief Price, Frankie Valli. We've had him on the show. Next week we're having Joseph Boiry, who is plays just terrific job. And when it was in town, Michael Ingersoll, who became a good friend, has been on the show and chatting about Jersey Boys. But you know, I tell everybody, you got to see it. It's one of the great musicals of contemporary theater.
Go see that, but come see Little Night.
Well, if you can get a ticket, it's the only problem.
Exactly. They're both hot tickets in town.
So now you're here till the 22nd. What's next up for Jonathan Weir?
I am, I'm right now going to go garden.
That's good. There you go.
Do some planting. Immediately after this, I'm doing some auditioning. I don't have anything in the pipeline, as they say, but I've got some auditions. I had one last week, had something, a couple other auditions coming up. So it's the joy of this business. You never know. It's a little bit of uncertainty, but you never quite know what the next, what's going to present itself next. It's always a constant surprise.
Certainly. Thank you for sharing your great talents with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great. And I encourage your listeners, if they can get a ticket, don't stop.
That's right.
We're there till the 22nd. And I've been doing this a long time. Well, a relatively long time, 25 years professionally. And it's pretty much perfect casting of any show I've ever been a part of. Maybe top five, certainly, but this is about at the top. It's a beautiful production. Bill has done an amazing job directing, staging it in that very intimate space, and I think that's one of the things that makes it even more special. Is it just unfolds right in your lap. There's not the distance with a proscenium house and costuming, lighting, set, all of it. It's all come together beautifully. So.
In turn-of-the-century Sweden, a former courtesan tells her granddaughter that the knight smiles three times, once upon the young, again upon the foolish, and last upon the old. The knight, and those activities best suited to cover of darkness, has a critical role in A Little Night Music, the musical based on Ingmar Bergman's film Smiles of Summer Night. Writers' Theatre was founded in 1992 to explore productions in which the word on the page and the artists that bring the word to life hold primary importance. Central to this mission are three important core values, valuing text, both classic and contemporary, as the fundamental source of inspiration. creating deliberately intimate performances where audiences are face-to-face with powerful stories, and honoring the time and commitment of our artists by remaining at the forefront of industry compensation. With a reputation for consistent artistic excellence, innovative educational programming, and strong ties to our community, Writers Theatre has built an award-winning repertoire and today serves as a vital and highly regarded company in the Chicago theater community. Writers Theatre, under the direction of Artistic Director Michael Halberstam and Executive Director Catherine LaPuma, continues its 20th anniversary season with A Little Night Music, music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, book by Hugh Wheeler, directed by William Brown. The production runs through July 22nd. And I'm going to give some information if people would like some tickets, if they can get them. Jonathan, phone number is 847-242-6000 on the line with us right now. It's one of the stars of A Little Night Music, Jonathan Weir. Jonathan, thanks for taking a little time. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I don't know if they can extend this thing, but it'd be a great thing to do, wouldn't it?
Well, they keep some of those tickets. They might. You never know. We're game, I think. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Kevin. It was a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.
Right.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good. Jonathan Weir, one of the stars from A Little Night Music, Anna Kleinenacht Music, at the Writers Theater, 325 Tudor Court in Glencoe. Again, for information, 847-242-6000. Very talented man, certainly doing great things, as is the whole cast up at Writers Theater. They have hit after hit up there, and they do just a terrific job. We're going to get back to the association's greatest hit CD, one of the classics, Everything That Touches You. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Share at those moments with you. You love for me.
the association, everything that touches you. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Randolph Street Market, America's largest and liveliest urban antiques market, offers treasures from around the globe. Calling all pickers, collectors, and treasure hunters to shop 250 premier vendors May 26th and 27th. Voted Chicago's best recurring indoor-outdoor antiques market by Time Out Chicago readers in 2011, the famed Randolph Street Market summer season returns for its ninth season, May 26th and 27th, to the West Loop. The Randolph Street Market is the biggest and most visually exciting shopping carnival with over 8 acres of one-of-a-kind treasures, including art and antiquities, fashion, furniture, ceramics, clocks, glass, jewelry, paintings, posters, maps, sculptures, and so much more from the world's top pickers. The season opener, themed A Garden Party, showcases an eclectic mix of exquisite antiques and unusual finds from 250 vendors suitable for every type of collector, buyer, designer, and treasure hunter. This must-attend event draws designers, stylists, and shoppers from around the globe to snatch up everything from rare antiquities to today's top furniture and fashion designs in a wide array of prices and styles to appeal to everyone's taste and budget. The market would also serve as the perfect backdrop for a memorable garden party complete with cocktails, interactive art, and do-it-yourself demonstrations, beauty treatments, airbrush tattoos, seasonal fancy food, relaxation vignettes, live music, and more. Another line with us right now is the Home and Garden TV award-winning businesswoman, nationally recognized television personality, and now an integral part of and presenting the ninth annual Randolph Street Market Festival this Saturday, May 26th from 10 to 6 and Sunday, May 27th from 10 to 5 on the 1350 block of West Randolph, Ms. Stacy Cohn. Stacy, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Well, congratulations. Everybody's looking forward to this weekend, huh?
Oh, my goodness. We have been looking forward to it and prepping for it for about a month or so. And down to right now, we are all just getting all the last-minute details tied up and put together for a really amazing weekend. Looking forward to it.
Last minute details never end, do they?
The first details you think are getting taken care of end up being the last minute details. So it's tying the gift bags up, getting tangerines just to have some fresh fruit, and the little details that a designer wants to make sure everybody, you know, takes in visually and experience.
Now, if anybody knows about garden party themes, it's Stacy Cohn, of course, being such an integral part of Home and Garden Television design star fame, and that's what the theme is kind of this weekend, garden party.
Yeah, it works perfectly. Everybody loves a garden party, and it's the weather. I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but the weather is going to be gorgeous. So
210 degrees this weekend.
210 degrees. Finally, I can pull out the sundresses.
Or pull them off, one or the other.
Not at the park, but yes, there's always a theme of that. We are looking forward to it. We're kind of lucky with Sally Schwartz being involved with this for so many years.
The great Sally Schwartz.
She is a firecracker.
She's a pistol, you're right.
She is awesome. And, you know, to be a part of it with her, you're just kind of like, this is a fun ride. I will join on. So we've gotten some really fun local vendors to help me outfit this garden party. Jason Home and Garden, which has, you know, the nursery and the Painted Lady and floor, carpet, and tile. So, you know, they brought all the stuff to help me put together a garden party. We have a dining table and a credenza and fruit and juices and drinks and galore. And that's just me.
People just love that, don't they, Stace, to have a garden? Just like that feeling of being outside. I mean, we only have, you know, three and a half months that we can enjoy eating al fresco. And, of course, the rest of the world, of course, has a little more time than that. But in those three and a half months, we really work it out, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. We entertain. We barbecue. We are, you know, the lakefront is bustling. I have people that call me, you know, right around this time, I need to get my outdoor patio done. I need all these, you know, last-minute
right,
things.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, let's, you know, and it's a busy time. Just people want to get it out and have their friends over. And if you have the space to entertain, man, you are the most popular person on that block, I will tell you.
And there's so many things to do at the festival, too, at the market. Genuine scooters. That's kind of interesting.
The scooters. I know that the scooters and one being auctioned off. This is, you know, it's fun. It's kind of, you know, everyone bikes here in Chicago.
Right,
it's a great biking community. it's a little motorized. It's less of, you know, carbon footprint. If I knew how to ride a scooter, I think I would. I would. And if I wasn't so scared of falling off, I would totally be the first one on it.
That's why they have helmets, Stacey.
We have. Right, that's what the helmet's for. No, they have food, and there's a band being, you know, playing right in the center of it. Right. I think there's some crafts going on. It's family friendly. It's the vendors. People come. Have you ever been to the Antique Randolph Market?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, you get people that come from all over to showcase, not only showcase there, but to shop there. So, to me, it's like the ultimate summer experience.
It's a regional destination. It's not only for people in and around Chicagoland area. People come and spend the weekend, and that's one of the places they hit is the Randolph Street Market.
100%. This is a summertime kickoff activity. This is Chicago at its finest. I go every year. But yeah, people from east, west, you know, neighboring Indiana come, you know, Michigan, Ohio, you name it, they come.
You know, they have vintage goods. They have silver. Shelton Gallery's there with some antique art and silver and so forth. I'm looking at some of the lists here. Yeah. Modern and eclectic furnishings, dolls and stuff like different dolls and so forth that you see on all around.
Well, collector's items. Worth Point's going to be there this year.
Worth Point, yeah.
Appraisal. So if you have something, I was just telling somebody I was in a store and he said, oh, I have this knife set that I got as a gift, and I think, you know, I never use it. So I'm like, hey, come on down, you know, register with Worth Point, and I'll see you at the market. And he's like, that sounds like a really good idea. But you have items, you don't know what they're worth. And I always say, you know, you either keep a treasure or you can, you know, buy something new.
You know, I get a kick out of watching that Antiques Roadshow on television, you know. I always guess wrong, but, you know, all the things that probably were disposed of because they were in our grandfathers or grandmothers or great-grandmothers or great-grandfathers' closets or attics or whatever that we didn't want to keep around because they were a nuisance, just threw them out, probably were just worth fortunes now.
Oh, well, they made the stuff so different back then. They made it to last. I mean, so the fact that the antiques are still around and you are passing them through hands upon hands and generations, I mean, they made them they were hardy. You know, now, you know, people make nice things, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I think there's such history in the antiques, and it just, you know, whether it's something that was passed down within your family or you find it now, they have that. There's a lot of fashionistas that shop mm-hmm. at the antique market, because you get vintage clothes and pins and wardrobes, and, you know, I know a few vendors, girls that are into fashion, they buy vintage dresses and then refurbish them and make a modern twist on them.
So, oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I know a lot of artists, it's really big to, like, refurbish. So you take, you know, these objects that you find, whether it's pottery and mosaic or fabric to textiles, but it's a real, like, artist haven. You know, local artist Francine Turk was discovered there. So people get discovered and they move on and they, you know, it gets great national coverage as well in the antique.
If you were going to give somebody, Stacey, a roadmap to come down and maybe enjoy themselves for a day or even 2 days, because maybe you can't get through everything in one day, maybe you want to spend a couple days there, how would you kind of instruct them or counsel them to kind of approach the Randolph Street Market?
Oh, you're like asking my most favorite question. Like, I think the number one thing is register. Register so you don't have to wait in line.
Okay.
People do line up. Get there first thing in the morning with a cup of coffee, I always say this, and just peruse. You know, walk around, see what you see, talk with some of the vendors, see who you have a rapport with, if you have the same interests. You just kind of get familiar with it. And then do a second lap, you know, and start to purchase and, you know, negotiate or see. You might find a piece of pottery at one vendor and a glass charger at another vendor, and you all of a sudden start to build on your shopping list. You know, if you create a shopping list, maybe you have to get some gifts. Maybe you want an entertaining tea set for iced tea for the summer. Just anything you want, you can find there.
And you can negotiate those items. I mean, regardless if there is a price on them, you can offer something to that vendor and see if they're interested and maybe reach some middle ground.
Sure. I mean, you negotiate, you haggle a little bit, you don't insult them because, you know, once you just want to keep it at a moderate negotiating level,
mm-hmm.
Always ask, you know, say, is this your best price?
Mm-hmm.
Have a little bit of passion. Tell them what you're going to use it for. 9 times out of 10, the people that are selling it, they want to know it's going to be enjoyed,
mm-hmm.
you know. Tell them you're throwing a party and you want this iced tea set and you make the special pink iced tea lemonade combo, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Just give them where it's going, and you'll probably start to get a better price.
And cash is king?
What?
Cash is king?
Cash is king. that's always, have singles on hand. You know, if you're going to negotiate from 20 to 13,
mm-hmm.
have singles. Don't negotiate with them and then make them make change for you.
Okay. Well, that's a lesson. It's good information.
Yeah.
It's good information.
And the other one, the one is, you know, sometimes go the last day near the end.
Mm-hmm.
They always say people would rather sell it than pack it back up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. What about if you wanted to bring the family with kids?
Great for kids. I think it's great to get them out there and see a different type of market. You know, it used to be before we buy stuff online, you'd go to market. You'd go to a farmer's market or
sure.
food market or Parisian market. I think it's a great outdoor activity. There's ice cream, there's food, there's snacks, there's bands, so the kids are entertained. There's always an area sectioned off where it makes it family-friendly. And I think it's great exposure. It's great exposure to arts and vintage, and, you know, all of a sudden, your kid that never saw, you know, vintage planes, you know, sees vintage planes and vintage maps, and you never know.
You know, this is the 9th season, and certainly Sally has done a terrific job putting this together. Kind of remarkable what it's turned out to. It is the place to be in the summer in Chicago. And like I said before, not only in Chicago, but a regional destination. People come in, some tourists that come throughout the world and enjoy it.
They do. She put it together. You know, their antique markets and flea markets are held up and down, especially like the Saugatuck area.
Right.
Right here. But here it's become an urban destination. It is in the parking lot of Plumbers Hall on Randolph Street, which, you know, was the meatpacking, and it's got such a history that you don't think it's a garden party in the urban landscape. So Sally saw it, a use and a vision 9 years ago for the parking lot there, and now it's become, you know, where people will stroll around in the afternoon and grab lunch up and down Randolph. It's a great destination, especially for a holiday weekend on a restaurant row. You know, brings commerce, brings people to the hotels. Just it brings people to the lakefront. And people that like the antique, you know, are early morning risers. So you get people using our lakefront. I think it's a great. I mean, and I'm so excited to be a part of it. So.
Well, it sounds like it. This European-style market essentially takes up an entire city block while maintaining the authenticity as one of the finest and most diverse antique markets in the world. Drawing comparisons to Paris's legendary market, the vibe is indescribable with the variety and the you-never-know-what-you-can-find excitement that attracts the most progressive and fun clientele. The Randolph Street Market Festival group of events are internationally recognized European-style indoor and outdoor markets in Chicago's West Loop District. Each summer event features over 250 select purveyors of high-quality, value-priced finds, offering unlimited creative inspiration and hours of shopping and entertainment. Voted as Time Out Chicago's best recurring market in 2011 and feature on Travel and Leisure, The New York Times, Lucky Magazine, and more, the Randolph Street Market Festival is considered a mecca of cool, the best hotspot for antiquing, the best Chicago venue for people watching, and the Barneys of vintage. Celebrity designer Nate Berkus says, I love this market. The quality is incredible. For more information and 2012 show dates, visit www.randolphstreetmarket.com or call 312-666-1200. And that's, of course, this weekend, Saturday, May 26th from 10 to 6, and Sunday, May 27th from 10 to 5, right at the 1350 block of West Randolph, right in that neighborhood in the West Loop, a terrific area. And on the line with us right now is from HGTV, Stacy Cohen. Stace, thanks for taking a little time, and you are full of energy, and I hope it stays moderately temperate this weekend, but regardless, it's going to be just a terrific time to be down at the 9th Annual Randolph Street Market Festival.
Yeah, we are looking forward to it, so we're looking forward for everybody to come by and enjoy, and, you know, bring the family, bring your friends, and bring a good, fun holiday weekend for us.
Well, continue success, kiddo, and tell Shelly I said hello.
Okay. I will. Give her your best. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, Stace.
Okay.
Stacey Cohen from HDTV, and now representing our good friend Sally Schwartz at the 9th Annual Randolph Street Market Festival this Saturday, May 26th, 10 to 6, Sunday, May 27th, 10 to 5, on the 1350 block of West Randolph. For information, 312-666-1200. An interesting article I picked up off the internet the other evening. The top 10 things dead people want to tell living people. The top 10 things dead people want to tell living people. And they are, number one, they're not dead. Number two, they're sorry for any pain they caused. Number three, there's no such thing as a devil or hell. Four, they were ready to go when they went. Five, you're not ready. Six, they finally understand what they were missing. Seven, nothing can prepare you for the beauty of the moment you arrive. Eight, don't try to understand this now, but life is exceedingly fair. Nine, your pets are as crazy, brilliant, and loving here as they were there. Finally, life really is all about love, but not just loving those who love you. Interesting. Life really is all about love, but not just loving those who love you. The top 10 things dead people want to tell living people. I don't know if we'll get the chance to find that out, but certainly some interesting words to think about. I had a call the other day about wanting to get some information about our show, and again, I mentioned this before. You can go on our website, which is www.kevinmoorepresents.com. Put together by a good friend, Tim Fairbanks, who does a terrific job, and certainly you get his information on his website, timfairbanks.com. But he's done a terrific job, and I thank Timmy for the job he's done putting that together for us and making the website what it is. Very informational, archive all our shows, and certainly a list of all the great people, or most of the great people that we've had on the shows in different categories, and some of the shows that ourselves at Kevin Moore Presents put on. But again, for some information at kevinmoorepresents.com. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Stacey Cohen, of course, from Home and Garden TV, award-winning designer, and now part of the 9th Annual Randolph Street Market Festival this Saturday, May 26th, 10 to 6, and Sunday, May 27th, 10 to 5 at the 1350 block of West Randolph. For information, 312-666-1200. We certainly wish Sally the best on her 9th annual. And Jonathan Weir, one of the stars of one of my favorite Sondheim musicals, Eine Kleine Nachtmusik, Little Night Music, through July 22nd at Writers Theater, 325 Tudor Court in Glencoe. And for information, 847-242-6000. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
Should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes, I may not see forever. If be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose the music, the music.